Hi, Matt. Good morning to you, man. Tyler Ivins, Eric Kane. You get to decide. Do you want your stat-based question from me, or do you want Kaner to lead us off?
Let's go with Tyler this week.
Matt, this one, it's a large number. I'm just going to let you know right now, okay? You're probably rolling your eyes, maybe laughing right now because what I'm about to say. Can you tell me? Now, you got to remember, there was a pandemic that was in there. There's a pandemic that was in there. How many days ago was Gonzaga's last loss? Gonzaga's undefeated.
Ooh.
They last lost to BYU, but do you remember the date on the calendar and do you know how many days ago it was?
Let's go with 394.
394 says Matt. Hey, Steve, same question to you. How many days ago was Gonzaga's last loss? They lost a conference game to BYU.
365.
365, he says, a full calendar year. Hey, Daniel, same question. Finally, how many days ago were the Gonzaga Bulldogs' last loss? It was a conference game against BYU.
364.
364. Now, you see how that works. Daniel, we got to say goodbye to you, my friend. Apologies, you were the last one and you were the lowest number. Steve and Matt, you guys survived for Kaner's question, including today. Gonzaga's last loss happened 403 days ago. It was a February matchup against BYU back in 2019. Gaynor, you're up, man.
All right, Matt, you ready to roll?
Let's go.
We are going to the football field. New Tennessee transfer, graduate transfer quarterback Hendon Hooker, who started his career at Virginia Tech. He's played in 21 games. How many career touchdown passes has Hendon Hooker thrown?
Let's go with 14.
All right, Matt says 14. What say you, Steve?
I'm going to say 17.
All right, Steve, the answer is 22. So Steve is the winner here of The Numbers Right.
Very nice. I like that. Give him his winning music. Very nice. Picking up the Harmony pillow from our friends at M. Lilly. Not only that, Steve, you also get an opportunity where you could be grabbing that cooling mattress from our friends over at M. Lilly. Queen size mattress. Who doesn't need a new mattress, right? A chance to get your hands on that. If we do draw your name, you get that opportunity to score big from our friends over at M. Lilly. A big thank you. For the last 4 months, they've been handing out incredible, incredible gifts, including that Harmony pillow, which I know so many people are excited to get their hands on. Again, it's happening there. M. Lilly stores, you can find them next to the Fresh Market in Farragut. Thank you to everybody at M. Lilly, the U.S. headquarters here in East Tennessee. Yeah, I'm trying to pull up that last box score when they lost. Yep, it's right here in front of me. Saturday, February 22nd, Gonzaga went to Provo and they lost to BYU. That would be February 22nd of 2020. So I said it was 19, it was 20. So it was 403 days ago. Final score 91-78. It was the last time BYU lost. From there, they finished out the regular season. They ended up winning the West Coast Conference Championship. And as we know, March Madness never occurred last year. So Mark Few with the thumping of USC last night, they get their second Final Four appearance. And now they wait for it, UCLA in the Final Four National Semifinal matchup that's going to be occurring coming up next weekend. 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Eric Kane, he was at the practice facility yesterday. First time in over a year that we've had a chance to see practice live and in person. Tennessee football out of the gate for spring practice. What did he see? What are some of the adjustments and manicuring that Josh Heupel's doing year one with his football program? We'll tell you next here on the starting lineup. 99 points to the starting lineup. Tyler Ivins for your Wednesday morning, final day in the month of March. 656-9900 on the Stanley Fenton Gates hotline. It's been well over a year since the last time Eric Kane and the beat writers covering the University of Tennessee stepped foot on the practice field yesterday. And Kaner, go ahead. Be honest with me. You cherished every moment. You touched the grass. I think I even saw you take your shoes off, take your socks off, and let the grass, like, wedge in between your toes. Maybe just wiped a little bit of a teardrop from the duct of your eye. Point being, though, it's always good to see things up close and personal. It's a little different. You know what I mean? It's a little different. And you know what? I give 100% full credit for you, because in this day and age where anybody can have a podcast, anybody can have a webcast, anybody can have a blog, and they are 490 miles away from the University of Tennessee. What they do is essentially just look at your all's photos, your all's write-ups, your all's press clippings, your all's clips on websites, and they make them their own and try to come off as this know-it-all, be-it-all press writer, blog, beat writer, whatever it may be. But it's different when you're there and you actually get to see it with your own eyes and you like to make your own adjustments and you write your own stories. So for the people out there who have their 16 followers on Facebook, God bless you as well. But I will also go with the people who are there front and center, like my dude Eric Kane. Gainer, you did that yesterday. You saw a couple of things. You did a little meet and greet. And congratulations to you guys out there who had the long-awaited return to Haslam Field. It was a beautiful day. And then here today we have rain and nothing but rain, my man. But I'm sure it was it felt good to be able to breathe the fresh air again and be able to see football again.
No, it really did. And, I mean, it's been, you know, when you cover the team, when your job is to talk Tennessee football every single day, be the Tennessee football guy, talk about practice, and not be able to go to practice, it's a little difficult. And, you know, if you miss my Tennessee football practice report to kick off the 7 o'clock hour, go back and check it out. It's podcasted. But, you know, I mentioned that, you know, the first thing I do at each and every practice is just take roll. I say, who's out there? Who's not? Who's in a non-contact jersey? Because those are very much important things, you know, leading up into game week. And so, you know, I was able to do that yesterday, able to see three different individual periods and kind of see who's where, who's playing what position, how these coaches are interacting with the players. Get to see a little bit. I mean, we're not getting to see a whole lot of practice, but you get to see some, and that's very, very important. And so I'll never forget a little over a year ago, I think it might have been 367 days ago, showing up for day two of Tennessee spring football practice 2020 at a media availability. And they had marked off, it was for players, and they had marked off the chair, like kind of like a three-point line, if you will, with tape, saying no one can go past this line. And then ultimately they canceled it. They sent us home, and we're saying, what's going on here? You know, why are they overreacting? This is crazy. I've got a job to do. And then, you know, days after that, everything was shut down, and the world really, as we knew it, it's been kind of put on pause. And so just being able to get back to the little things, get back to practice, and hopefully soon get back to in-person media availability, stuff like that, it kind of really just shows you how far we've come in the last year.
Yeah, you're not kidding. I was just thinking about that yesterday. I was cutting the grass for the first time, and I'm looking around at my backyard, a backyard that I've seen a lot of during the pandemic and a lot of during quarantine, and I just thought to myself, how are we already at the Final Four? How are we already at spring practice again? And how is it that we've gotten through the last year? I mean, just for some, maybe it blew by. For others, it went at a snail's pace. I'm with you on that. It's just kind of hard to believe where you guys were with the tape. Can't cross this line where the seats are, whoever the assistant coaches were on Pruitt staff you guys were set to meet last year, and where you guys are now. So I'm glad to see that things are starting to turn upward, and it means that we're starting to get more negative tests and positive results. What do they always say? Stay positive, test negative.
Yeah.
So for a lot of you out there, I'm glad to see that we've had a chance to get through this together and we can get a little bit of normality back in our lives. I want to ask, though, because, Kaner, some of the things that you did see yesterday, it's just that. Not only are you taking role, but there are a few things that you're looking at from players. Could they be switching positions anytime soon? But my question is simply this. Early out of the gate, tempo is always a big question asked. Do they look like that they're kind of forming around the new schemes? Does it look like that they're kind of on pace and they seem like that they're motivated to learn the new thing, the new built-in system with Josh Heupel and his staff? What was tempo like yesterday? How did things kind of come across to you when it came to pace and practice?
Yeah, tempo was good from what we saw. And, you know, that's, you know, pretty standard for, you know, any collegiate football practice you attend. You're moving around. You've only got so many, you know, minutes to be out there. And so you got to take advantage of all of it. But a lot of group work, a lot of drilling. The coaches were holding players accountable. When I was over observing the defensive line, they were on the four-man sled and kind of working on hand placement and get off and all that. And, you know, Rodney Gardner had a group, you know, redo a rep four times, and just me standing there. And so it looks like these coaches are already, you know, starting from, you know, day one, holding these players accountable, because that's something that the players have continued to say. We want to be held accountable. We want to be held accountable. And I saw a lot of that yesterday. But tempo was good. A lot of drilling, a lot of fast-paced moving, you know, guys running around in each different direction. A lot of hands-on coaching from what I've seen so far. Of course, it was just day one, but so far, so good from that aspect. And, you know, just seeing players get out there and hit everybody. Plus, yesterday was the first full day of pads, and so that's always exciting. There's a little bit more of a, you know, a skip in your step there, because you get to go and actually hit somebody, take them down to the ground, and not get yelled at. And so, unless you had a quarterback. So from that aspect, yesterday, tempo was really, really good. And, of course, I think they're going to get faster and faster and faster the more they work with this coaching staff.
Anybody in particular switching sides of the ball? You know, it's always you always ask yourself, do I look out of place? Do I feel out of place until a coach tells you, all right, you're switching sides of the ball. Here's everything you need to know from running back to linebacker, wide receiver to secondary. Are we at that point in time yet? I know Tim Banks was one of the available assistants and coordinators that were with the media yesterday. Anything in particular out of Banks, perhaps maybe gaining somebody on the defensive side of the ball?
No, so I point blank asked Tim Banks. I said, hey, have you guys kind of thought and evaluated some players at certain positions, maybe want to move them, or maybe evaluated some players on the offensive side of the football to move over to defense? He said, no, we haven't done that at this time. Alex Goler said on Saturday that, you know, when asking about Deep Beckwith, that they want to put players at a position, let them learn it, let them feel at home, and then evaluate later or evaluate as they go. So no position changes of note really to report on just yet. They're coming. They've got to come. But I will say this, the edge players that, you know, were stand-up DN, sometimes put a hand in the dirt and a four-man front for Jeremy Pruitt, those guys like Tyler Barron, guys like you know, Byron Young, who's a mid-year early enrollee, Jerome Middleton, stuff like that, all those guys were practicing with the defensive lineman yesterday, along with Bryson Eason. So if, you know, Tennessee's going to be multiple on defense, if they're in a three-man front with a stand-up end, those guys will stand up likely, but I wouldn't be surprised if you see Bryson Eason, you know, Byron Young, those type of edge players, with Tyler Barron with a hand in the dirt looking as a true 4-3 defensive end this year.
Cater, we appreciate it. As always, flash flood warning continuing here for Knox County and surrounding listening counties. Please, 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 please be careful on your drive to work today. Both sides of the Interstate 40 east and west dealing with multi-vehicle car accidents at this time. So give yourself a little bit of time. I'm taking a peek right now at my front yard. It looks like it's completely underwater right now. And this was us already removed from 2-3 consecutive days of rain. We got maybe a 36 to 40 hour reprieve, and now we're back at it again. So give yourself a little bit of time. For those of you who are late out the door, give yourself extra time, and please be careful on your drive to work. 10 and 2 at seatbelt, buckle up. We want to make sure you guys get to your final destination safe and sound. Stay with us here on TSL. Star pitch cut. Yeah, the under did us in last night in the UCLA-Michigan game. But it's okay, because riding with Ivins has got your guaranteed log tonight that I think you're going to benefit from. What is that? There's a team that's played one too many hockey games in Stanima. There might be issues with that later tonight north of the border. Hint, hint. 99.1, you're listening to the Esports Animal. Final 30 minutes on the way.
All right, Tyler. Outside of Gonzaga, who has the best chance to win the NCAA championship? Michigan, Baylor, or Houston?
Most likely to win the national championship, not named Gonzaga. The earth coming to an end. I don't know. Me going on a date with Jennifer Love Hewitt. I mean, it's slam dunk pretty much Gonzaga all the way. I hate to be a spoiler, but if you're telling me I have to rank the teams remaining, I'm going to start Baylor. I'll bench Gonzaga. Bench Houston. I'll cut UCLA. This is great. This is great. This is fantastic. I just, eventually your story's got to come to an end. If to stay with the WWE theme, you're eventually being fed to Brock Lesnar. Just go in there, take your butt whooping, crawl out of the ring, and collect your payday.
Yeah, that's right. It's UCLA, not Michigan. My apologies. Yeah, I'm going to go with the same order. I would, outside of Gonzaga, but it's going to be Gonzaga. Gonzaga all the way. It would be start Baylor, bench Houston, and then cut UCLA.
Yep.
Today is National Crayon Day. Best elementary school utensil.
Ooh.
You've got the crayon, the markers, or the colored pencils.
Now, are these the smelly markers, or are these the normal markers?
Yeah, make it your own.
Okay, I'm starting to smell good. Nothing was better than coloring the red of my American flag and then sniffing the cherries. Sniff the cherry. And then all of a sudden I would take the cap off the blue one and then color in my American flag and sniff the blueberries. So the smell good magic markers, give me all the smell good magic markers. I'm going to bench the colored pencils, because colored pencils had more colors for your little school, your pencil box. And I'm going to cut the crayons, because crayons broke too easy.
Yeah,
crayon. Unless you got Crayola. Crayolas, they were pretty stale. Anything else, though, those suckers were broken by day one.
Crayon is the easy cut here, right? I mean, easy cut. Yeah. I'm going to start colored pencils, because I like the sharp, you know, point of the colored pencils and coloring it in there. And I thought colored pencils just made Art look better, in my opinion. I'll bench the markers because I did like the smelly good ones, like you pointed out. But sometimes it was just too damp and too heavy for, you know, the great artwork that we're doing in art class. And then I'm gonna cut the crayons because crayons are gross.
Yeah, but nothing's more romantic than taking a girl on a first date to an Italian restaurant where you can take the crayons and color on your your tablecloth.
Yeah.
Nice glass of Pinot or Chardonnay, and you go, haha, X makes a square.
Godzilla.
By the way, you always let the girl win on the first date when you're doing crayon tic-tac-toe on the Italian tablecloth.
Then you're setting yourself up for failure if it works out. Because then you got to, I mean, she wins the first time. She wins every time, right?
It depends who you're taking on a date. Because some women, they need to be checked. Like, they're, like, so competitive where, like, you do the cute thing. And you're like, I'm going to let them win the first time. And then they think they're actually good at something. And then you have to, like, remind them when you take them to the putt-putt course or you take them to tic-tac-toe Italian date night and be like, hey, listen, I'm better than you and you need to know this. So it's okay. Sometimes you got to check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Godzilla versus King Kong was released today in theaters.
Yeah, it is.
Best movie monster in history.
Ooh.
Godzilla, King Kong, Frankenstein.
Oh, that's pretty easy. You're starting Kong, you're benching Godzilla, you're cutting Frankenstein. Nothing against the monster made by Dr. Frankenstein, but he doesn't compare to the two massive monsters of monstrosity that are going to be on the big screen or at my house later today, HBO Max. What's up? If Kong loses to Godzilla, I'm going to be very upset. I'm going to need you to not contact me before 6 a.m. tomorrow morning when we do Thursday's TSL.
Yeah, this is not a paid endorsement, but HBO Max is legit.
Fantastic.
I mean, goodness gracious.
You get it for free if you have a certain satellite provider that may or may not sometime go out when it rains outside, DirecTV.
I'm going to follow suit. I would start Kong. I'll bench Godzilla, and I'll cut Frankenstein as well.
Yeah.
All right, so Tyler, I got to ask you, did you hear about the Utah Jazz and the incident that happened yesterday in terms
of... Like a plane.
Yeah.
I mean, heard about it, but I don't know, like, the details about it.
So, briefly, really quick, I mean, it was kind of a scary situation. So, their team plane took off. They're scheduled to play in Memphis tonight. Team plane took off and then came in contact with a flock of birds. One, I guess, birds went into an engine, causing an engine issue. They had to turn around and make an emergency landing as soon as they took off.
That's scary stuff.
It really is. No injuries. Nothing happened. Everything was safe. They turned right around made a circle and came right back and landed at Salt Lake International Airport. So everyone's all right. Game is still scheduled for tonight in Memphis, but I mean, some scary stuff. So so thankful that it wasn't bad, because I mean that could have been awful.
Very serious very quickly. Yeah.
But in saying that, what's the scariest form of transportation for you? Plane, boat, or the train? I mean the subway when I say train. So I guess plane, boat, subway.
Well, excuse me. I've actually had an emergency landing on a plane one time when I was traveling for a living.
Okay.
A gentleman had a heart attack. Survived. He survived. I've had to have an emergency landing before. Was I in Minneapolis or was I in Wisconsin? I want to say I was in Milwaukee. I remember exactly where I was. I was going from Milwaukee to Indy. Yeah, we jumped 10 minutes after takeoff out of Milwaukee. We had to turn right back and land. The guy had a heart attack. So that was scary, because anytime you see somebody say, you know, you hear kind of the concern on the pilot's voice coming over the intercom, and you keep hearing that ding, and you can kind of see kind of the frantic look on the flight attendants. Yeah, I'm getting crazy flashbacks right now thinking about this. So, yeah, I'm going to start the plane. I'm going to bench the subway, just kind of being underground, dark tunnel. You've seen too many things happen. I've never, as many times as I've taken the underground mass transportation, I've never had an issue. I'm going to cut boat. Boats are never scary. I mean, yeah, besides the whole I'm on a cruise, put your life vest on, and this is what happens if we have to run into these situations. I've never had too many incidents, but, yeah, anything that's kind of out of your control when you're not behind the wheel, that just, like, your severity level goes up, like, times 12.
Yeah. All right, so, you know, I agree with that for sure. I'm a great traveler. I travel often. I've done these forms of transportation many, 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 many times. So none of them get to me. But, of course, it's different whenever you're in, you know, what's it called when you're in the plane and turbulence. There you go. It's different when you're in turbulence or when the waters are rough or whatever. So I will start the boat because, Tyler, I don't know if you've ever been deep sea fishing. Oh, my goodness.
Don't I went when you I was dare. Little. Look up.
And I mean, that's you
look
talk,
up.
Yeah, you talk about being scary at times. So I will start the boat.
Anybody who is like riding the waves going out in international waters, you're going to be sick for the next 3 hours.
Oh my goodness, man!
Look at the sky.
So, yeah, I will start the boat because of that. I will bench the plane because against turbulence and the train, the subways that they don't get to do at all. All right, today's National Tater Day. Best way to eat your taters: fries, tots, or chips.
Start tots, bench chips, cut fries.
Same. That's easy money. And with opening day tomorrow, I've got to ask, who wins the National League East?
Oh, I knew you were going to do this. Who's the third option? Because I know you're going to have New York and Atlanta in there.
Nationals.
Really? Nationals. Okay.
Yeah. I looked up a bunch of different
projections. I told you earlier today the bold prediction was the Braves are going to win the World Series, but they're going to do it through the wild card. So I'll start the Mets. I'll bench the Braves. I'll cut the...
Wow.
Yeah, I said what I said.
Yeah.
That's after the Mets signed Lindor to an extension of like $330 million later today.
I will... I hate giving your own team props.
Just say it then.
I'm going to start the Braves because, I mean, they've done it 3 years in a row. I'm going to start the Braves. I'm going to bench the Mets and cut the Nationals. The Mets have so much talent. The Mets always have so much talent. And for your sake, and I know
why do they never accomplish?
Injuries all the time. They just continue to run into injuries every single year, bad contracts. I hope that changes this year, but I hope it doesn't come at the expense of the Braves. So I will start the Braves. I will bench the Mets, and I will cut the Nats.
Carlos Carrasco is already out 6 weeks. Guy hasn't even thrown a pitch yet for the major the Mets since the trade with the Indians.
Yep.
Big thank you to Heritage Realty. HeritageRealtyKnox.com is the website. Listen, they're a boutique brokerage focusing on the needs of you, the customer. They don't hand you off to third party collecting commissions. Look, they do fantastic with rental properties. I'm going to highly encourage you check out the team and what they can do for you at HeritageRealtyKnox.com. Final segment of the starting lineup. 99.1, you're listening to the Sports Animal, Tyler Ivins. Riding with Ivins, 3-2 overall after 5 plays. Ooh, bad beat last night. I mean, we didn't have a chance, did we? That's what happens whenever you get started for a combined 4 of 17 from the floor. That's what happened between Michigan and UCLA last night. We had the over 135, didn't work out well. I know people are going to sit here and go, you should have known based on where the deep... No, nobody expected them to be able to not hit water falling out of a boat, but we recoup. You're only as good as your next ticket, correct? This is where we get back on track. Hey, I want to teach you something right now. Are you new in the sports gambling hobby? Do you want to learn something about hockey this year during the pandemic? Remember the 4-7 system. Tyler, what do you mean the 4-7 system? What's this? 4 games in 7 days. Tight schedule. They got to squeeze an adequate amount of games in to be able to crown who their division and their potential Stanley Cup champion is. Go do your research on how well teams have fared in the 4th game in 7 days. There is a team tonight that is playing their 4th game in as little as 6 games. So, one less day of rest. That team tonight, the Winnipeg Jets. They're playing host to the Toronto Maple Leafs. And again, money line bets on teams that play a lot of games in under a week. You can imagine it does not fare well. I could go into the obnoxious stats. I could tell you what it looks like from the faceoff percentage. I can tell you what the lopsided shots on goals are. What I can tell you, though, teams that are playing lots of games without rest in a short amount of time, they are not winning hockey games. You don't care about the numbers. You just care about who you need to click on, who you need to submit, and how much money you're going to win. That's all on you. But I can lead you to the water, and hopefully you'll drink it up. Winnipeg, again, their 4th game in 6 days. It doesn't fare well, despite the fact they've played 4 times and split. 2 wins for Toronto, 2 wins for Winnipeg. I'm going to lean with the team that's got a little bit more rest. Quite frankly, I'm going to go with the team that's just flat out better on paper and on ice. Tonight, you can still get their money line at minus 144. Make your smart bets, but pick this one and know you're going to go home with a winner. It's the Maple Leafs over the Jets. Hockey tonight in Winnipeg. You're taking the Toronto money line minus 147. All right, Kaner, we step aside now. Going to let you know, my man. Big shouts to your boys tomorrow. The next time we chat, it's going to be opening day baseball. Braves, remind me, who do they open up with? They got a big series coming up against
Philly.
That's who I thought it was. That's why I wanted to hear you say it. There are just some cities, some team names, and players' names I don't like to vomit out of my mouth. That's why I wanted you to do it.
You know, it's like that the handshaking emoji whenever it's like one party, handshaking, we hate Philly, that's me and you. It's so Braves, you Mets, Philly, Tyler Kaner, we hate Philly.
When we get off the air, I'll tell you a joke about a cheesesteak. It's not, kids don't, yeah, we're not going to go that far. Eric Ains Show, Brian Rice. Those boys are up next. They're going to take you the rest of the way. Josh and Heather, noon to 3. John and Jimmy, 3 to 7. Will rejoins us coming up tomorrow. Lots to get into your Thursday TSL opening day. And that's no foolies. Kaner, if you plan something for April Fool's Day, just know I bite and I will fight back. Listen to the starting lineup here on 99.1, The Sports Animal. Hey, be careful out there. Enjoy your rainy Wednesday.